The Organization of Life. Section 3. The Diversity of Living Things. Life on Earth is incredibly diverse. Take a walk in a park, and you will see trees, birds, insects, and maybe fish in a stream. All of these organisms are living, but they are all very different from one another. Most scientists classify organisms into 6 kingdoms, as described in Table 2, based on different characteristics. Members of the 6 kingdoms get their food in different ways and are made up of different types of cells, the smallest unit of biological organization. The cells of animals, plants, fungi, and protists contain a nucleus, which consists of a membrane that surrounds a cell's genetic material. Bacteria, fungi, and plants all have cell walls, structures that surround their cells and provide them with support. Archaebacteria and eubacteria. Organisms in the kingdoms Archaebacteria and eubacteria share a lot of features, even though they are not closely related. They are microscopic, single-celled organisms that usually have cell walls and reproduce by dividing in half. Unlike all other organisms, members of Archaebacteria and eubacteria lack nuclei. Archaebacteria are often found in extreme places, such as hot springs. Eubacteria are very common and can be found in soil and animal bodies. Many types of eubacteria are commonly referred to as bacteria. Bacteria and the environment. Bacteria play many important roles in the environment. Some kinds of bacteria break down the remains and wastes of other organisms and return nutrients to the soil. Others recycle mineral nutrients, such as nitrogen and phosphorus. For example, certain kinds of bacteria play a very important role by converting nitrogen in the air into a form that plants can use. Nitrogen is important because it is a main component of proteins and genetic material. Bacteria also allow many organisms, including humans, to extract certain nutrients from their food. The bacteria in Figure 12 are Escherichia coli, or E. coli, a bacterium found in the intestines of humans and other animals. Here, E. coli helps digest food and release vitamins that humans need. A different form of E. coli can cause severe food poisoning. Fungi. A fungus, plural fungi, is an organism whose cells have nuclei and cell walls. A mushroom is the reproductive structure of a fungus. The rest of the fungus is an underground network of fibers. These fibers absorb food from decaying organisms in the soil. Fungi get their food by releasing chemicals that help break down organic matter and then absorbing the nutrients. The bodies of most fungi are a huge network of threads that grow through the soil, dead wood, or other material on which the fungi are feeding. Like bacteria, fungi play an important role in the environment by breaking down the bodies and body parts of dead organisms. Like bacteria, some fungi cause diseases, such as athlete's foot. Other fungi add flavor to food. The fungus in blue cheese, shown in Figure 13, gives the cheese its strong flavor. And fungi called yeasts produce the gas that makes bread rise. Protists. Most people have some idea what bacteria and fungi are, but few could define a protist. Protists are a diverse group of one-celled organisms and their many-celled relatives. Some, such as amoebas, are animal-like. Others, such as the kelp in Figure 14, are plant-like. Still, others are more like fungi. Most protists are one-celled microscopic organisms. This group includes amoebas and diatoms. Diatoms, shown in Figure 14, float on the ocean surface. The most infamous protist is Plasmodium, the one-celled organism that causes the disease malaria. From an environmental standpoint, the most important protists are probably algae. Algae are plant-like protists that can make their own food using the sun's energy. Green pond scum and seaweed are examples of algae. Algae range in size from the giant kelp to the one-celled phytoplankton, which are the initial source of food in most ocean and freshwater ecosystems. Plants. Plants are many-celled organisms that have cell walls and that make their own food using the sun's energy. Most plants live on land, where the resources a plant needs are separated between the air and the soil. Sunlight, oxygen, and carbon dioxide are in the air, and minerals and water are in the soil. Plants have roots that access water and nutrients in the soil, and leaves that collect light and gases in the air. Leaves and roots are connected by vascular tissue, a system of tubes that carries water and food. Vascular tissue has thick cell walls, so a wheat plant or a tree is like a building supported by its plumbing. Lower plants. The first land plants had no vascular tissue, and they also had swimming sperm. As a result, these early plants could not grow very large and had to live in damp places. Their descendants, alive today, are small plants such as mosses. Ferns and club mosses were the first vascular plants. Some of the first ferns were as large as small trees. Tree ferns still live in the tropics and in New Zealand today. Some examples of lower plants are shown in Figure 15. Gymnosperms. Pine trees and other evergreens with needle-like leaves are gymnosperms. Gymnosperms are woody plants that produce seeds, but their seeds are not enclosed in fruits. Gymnosperms, such as pine trees, are also called conifers because their seeds are inside cones, as shown in Figure 16. Gymnosperms have several adaptations that allow them to live in drier conditions than lower plants can. Gymnosperms produce pollen, which protects and moves sperm between plants. These plants also produce seeds, which protect developing plants from drying out. And a conifer's needle-like leaves lose little water. Much of our lumber and paper comes from gymnosperms. Angiosperms. Most land plants today are angiosperms, flowering plants that produce seeds in fruit. All of the plants in Figure 17 are angiosperms. The flower is the reproductive structure of the plant. Some angiosperms, such as grasses, have small flowers that produce pollen that is carried by the wind. Other angiosperms have large flowers that attract insects or birds to carry their pollen to other plants. Many flowering plants depend on animals to disperse their seeds and carry their pollen. For example, a bird that eats a fruit will drop the seeds elsewhere, where they may grow into new plants. Most land animals could not survive without flowering plants. Most of the food we eat, such as wheat, rice, beans, oranges, and lettuce, comes from flowering plants. Building materials and fibers, such as oak and cotton, also come from flowering plants. Animals. Animals cannot make their own food like plants can. They have to take in food from their environment. In addition, animal cells have no cell walls, so animals' bodies are soft and flexible. Some animals have evolved hard skeletons against which their muscles can pull to move their bodies. As a result, animals are much more mobile than plants, and all animals move around in their environments during at least one stage in their lives. Invertebrates. Animals that lack backbones are invertebrates. Many invertebrates live attached to hard surfaces in the ocean and filter their food out of the water. These organisms move around only when they are larvae or juveniles. At this early stage of life, they are part of the ocean's floating plankton. Filter feeders include corals, various worms, and mollusks such as clams and oysters. Figure 18 shows a variety of invertebrates. Other invertebrates, including squid in the ocean and insects on land, move around actively in search of food. More insects exist on Earth than any other type of animal. Insects have a waterproof external skeleton that keeps them from losing water in dry environments. Insects move quickly, and they reproduce quickly. Also, most insects can fly. Their small size allows them to live on little food and to hide from enemies in small spaces, such as a seed or in the hair of a mammal. Many insects and plants have evolved together and depend on each other to survive. Insects carry pollen from male parts of flowers to female parts of flowers to fertilize a plant's egg, which develops into a fruit. Without insect pollinators, we would not have tomatoes, cucumbers, apples, and many other crops. Insects also eat other insects that we consider to be pests. But humans and insects are often enemies. Blood-sucking insects transmit human diseases such as malaria, sleeping sickness, and West Nile virus. Insects probably do more damage indirectly, however, by eating our crops. Vertebrates. Animals that have backbones are called vertebrates. Members of three vertebrate groups are shown in Figure 19. The first vertebrates were fish, but today most vertebrates live on land. Amphibians, which include toads, frogs, and salamanders, are partially aquatic. Nearly all amphibians must return to water to lay their eggs. The first vertebrates to complete their entire life cycle on land were the reptiles, which today include turtles, lizards, snakes, and crocodiles. These animals have an almost waterproof egg, which allows the egg to hatch on land, away from predators in the water. Birds are warm-blooded vertebrates with feathers. Bird eggs have hard shells. Adult birds keep their eggs and young warm until they develop insulating layers of fat and feathers. Mammals are warm-blooded vertebrates that have fur and feed their young milk. The ability to maintain a high body temperature allows birds and mammals to live in cold areas where other animals cannot survive. You've reached the end of this chapter. Before moving on, review the main points of the section by reading the summary. Then take some time to demonstrate what you've learned by answering the review questions. Your teacher may want you to apply your knowledge by completing the lab exercise on the following pages. The chapter review and standardized test preparation will give you additional practice using what you've learned.